one.
Well, I apologize for being here on time.
Yeah.
Just know it's not twice. Before we begin with two bills, we did have, well, we'll come back to that one. We do have another one on radiation safety. We asked if you could touch it. I'll come back to that one later. Let's take HCR 56, please, first. Is there someone here testifying on HCR 56, compilation of steps, statistics, change of participation on the last day report? We have this up on the floor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is William Spear, the Deputy Commissioner of the Labor Department. I wasn't present at your last hearing, and I'm getting it kind of secondhand that there was some problem with the fiscal note. Not sure what your particular interests are. I have Mr. Gale, the Director of our Research and Analysis Division, and Mr. Haas of our fiscal section. We submitted a revised fiscal note, which I believe we sent it to the committee, or which we've tried to cut the what we perceive as the potential costs of such a survey down as much as we can. And of course, the department is interested in knowing insofar as possible exactly what it is the legislature wants from such legislation from such a report, excuse me, and so that we might better serve the purposes of the resolution. I know we do maintain some statistical information concerning women in the workforce, and to the extent that's not complete enough, we'd like to know about it. But we're here to answer any questions the committee may have.
Well, Mr. Chair, I believe one of the prime things the committee was bothered by last time was the size of the fiscal note. I might, your information, say that when this resolution was submitted, I asked Mr. McKinnon, our AA, to check with the department, because I assume that the department is already doing this and there's no reason to take it to resolution. And she found, of course, it was not being done. We could bring a resolution up for consideration. I don't want to put words in the mouth of the speaker alone. It's his resolution, but I believe this is probably, to some extent, stems from the study on the status of women. Here's Mr. Malone himself, and he may be able to tell us more about that. But anyway, the thing, this was the reason, since the resolution asked for statistics, and we were told that the Department of Labor did not have them, so they are obviously vital, I would say, in determining just exactly what is happening in terms of women's participation in the workforce, equal opportunities for them, and for minority groups also, but also including the resolution.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Obviously, we're in no way opposed to the concept. We just really are searching for a clearer direction and exactly what further information. I think at this point I might have Mr. Gale give you a brief outline of what we do produce now, and perhaps that would have a reflection on our fiscal note as to how much it would cost to produce the additional information. What the other ramifications are. As I understand it, we do maintain some information now, but apparently what I'm driving at is what the gap is, what we need.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Dave Gale with the R&A section. But we had talked about this the last time. We do have the what we call the affirmative action statistics package that does have the race and sex in it. But this was based on the 1970 census information. It is not based on current information.
And I think, Mr. Gill, I asked you last time if you regarded those 1970 statistics, which you extrapolated up, as being very accurate. I think the answer was no.
Well, I had.
They're at least problematic, right? And we don't rely on those for the other functions that the department performs. Data gathered by the department for other purposes is apparently considered important enough not to rely on 1970 extrapolation. I think
methods for gathering the, say, the other information like total employment and total unemployment. We have other methods of gathering it, but the only way that we've had to gather it for, say, affirmative action statistics is through the methodology that's been provided to us by the federal government, which is the methodology that we use to gather the, say, the information for the affirmative action package. There are problems with the accuracy of it, this is true, but to date, I have done a little bit of checking out since then. I found that no other state does anything any different than what we're doing as far as providing, say, breakdowns by race and by sex.
Mr. Chairman, thank you.
For you, Mrs. Spear, also, perhaps probably the concern that was expressed when we had this this resolution before us the last time, part of my concern may have risen out of perhaps a mistaken understanding I may have had of the capability of the department. My assumption had been, and basically an assumption on my part, that much of this information is available already, and perhaps here's where my mistake was. I thought you might be able to go to some big, gigantic monster of a computer, push 14 buttons and say, well, we want the information which deals basically with women employed in Alaska. Push that button, and you know, after a whole bunch of circuits go and lights go on and off, you know, a half hour later you might get an IBM printout which says there are 60,000 people employed in the labor force, 27,000 of them are women, and of that 27,000, 98% of them are in the lower strata of pay, etc. And perhaps my assumption that that type of thing could be done may have been part of why I had such a negative reaction to the presentation that you made previously. And if that basically is not what the department is capable of doing, you know, had I known that, I wouldn't have gotten so excited about you people not being able to answer our questions at that particular time.
The real problem with that is that the information that you're looking for, say, into the computer at this time does not go into the computer. I mean, it's not part of the data that's being entered into the computer. It's something that's just not being gathered, not on a current basis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, well, I really think there's an absolute need for this. And I'm speaking not as a woman, because sometimes I've been in too many committees lately where some issues like these are brought up and, you know, they feel the bias because I'm a woman. But I am interested because what I think is happening is that we spend quite a number of tax dollars on the Department of Labor. But I still feel that there's not enough women and minorities, both male and female, in the workforce as I would like to see them being in the workforce. My question is, and I have the same feeling that you should have the same statistics as Mr. Nakag is saying, because I don't see why the Department of Labor cannot tell me, if I give a call, say, how many women work, say, in Nome. Would you be able to tell me how many by what they do, and you know, maybe even their educational background and why they haven't had any job upgrading and that sort of thing? Those are the facts that I would like to obtain. The same thing, like if I say I'd like to know the statistics in Juneau, can you give me how many Filipinos work in the state office building up there? Now I can tell you because I have taken the statistics and from my friends, I've just gone and collected the information myself for my own personal edification. But these are the things that should be readily available. I think that now the question I'd like to ask is how much money is really spent by the Department of Labor in an area that relates to this particular resolution?
I might start out with a little bit of explanation, which Dave would probably contradict me. But there may be some misunderstanding about when you're talking about the Department of Labor and how much money we spend, you're really talking about a department which is funded primarily through the federal government as part of a nationwide system of employment services. And our research and analysis division is funded almost exclusively out of federal money. And what, in the simplified way they do, is every month we hear on the news that the national unemployment rate is doing this or that. And they require us to follow certain guidelines and procedures, which all states follow. Between us, privately, we don't really, I don't think very many of us would agree that these figures are a very accurate representation of what actually is happening in Alaska. And I have personally advocated having more state funding in the research and analysis division. There are a number of research projects that we'd love to do. We'd love to develop all kinds of useful and interesting information, but the feds monitor us pretty closely, and most of our money is soaked up along those things. Whenever you want to do something special or set up a new way of looking at things, or even I wanted to do a survey type investigation into the labor market, but it's just without some kind of state money, there's just not the slack there to be able to go out to Nome and find out, you know, how many women are working in what positions and how much they're being paid and so forth. But, and this is our concern about the financial aspects of it. But Dave, you may have something to address.
May I elaborate on this? What kind of research are you allowed to do, or what kind of guidelines are you talking about in procedures? Because I really don't, you know, maybe I don't know. This is why I'm griping, because I just don't
know. I don't know either, precisely, and I'll let Dave know.
It's almost anything and everything we do has some kind of a federal guideline attached to it. To give you an example, now we're just changing the methodology and the definition of the way of computing the rate of unemployment within the state, and it's actually going to substantially reduce the rate and the number of people unemployed. Okay, it's through a methodology that's been put out by the Office of Management and Budget through the Bureau of Labor Statistics that we are required to follow this prescribed methodology. What we're trying to do is to make sure that all of the states will add to the national total. So in this one case, we're required to go through a standard seven-step method in computing the number of people unemployed in the state. We cannot deviate from that. Now, there are many people that can come to me and tell me that they can go out in their home area and then count more people unemployed. Well, they're counting people not working. And by the standard Bureau of Labor Statistics definition of unemployment, they don't qualify. In other words, they're not actively seeking work, oftentimes because they know no one is out there. They know that no jobs exist. So in practically every area that we've got, we have federal methodologies, standard procedures that we're required to follow. One thing I would like to back up and say and add to it is that my unit is at this time 100% federally funded. There are no state dollars going into my unit.
Yeah, well, as far as that goes, I think there are tax dollars, and there are still money that is contributed to, or at least collected from the people of Alaska. So I wouldn't really say that just because there are federal dollars, it doesn't mean anything to us, and we should have any cause to you know, to expect some consideration, because they only came from the federal government. So I would disagree there. But you say that because a group of people are not actively seeking jobs because there are no jobs there anyway, so why even bother, you know? So you don't count those people. What is your basis for counting jobs then? I don't know what you do. Do you do population count, or do you do just estimate the number of people that are not working, and then you just count it as the basis for your unemployment rate? Or
We start with the number of claims, the number of people actually claiming unemployment insurance. This makes up about 70 to 75% of the number of people unemployed. Okay, to this then we add to that the new entrants and the re-entrants to the labor force. This is the people right out of college, out of school, housewives perhaps entering it for the labor force for the first time. These estimates then that we add to the labor force are based upon a national sample of what they call the Census Population Survey, of which Alaska is now a part of that survey. They take a sample, and in the sample they find certain relationships that exist. In other words, for every 1,000 people there are 22 new entrants or 30 re-entrants to the labor force. There are also some exhaustees to the unemployment insurance system, and those are all added in. And this is the standard 70-step method on how we get up to the total number of people employed or unemployed. Now, this, after we get up to the end of the standard 70-step method, it's adjusted to reflect the what they call the CPS adjustment. Okay, and this is where the number of people are adjusted downward. The number of people that are unemployed, this figure is adjusted downward. Basically, what happens is that the Bureau of Labor Statistics, when they go out and they talk to the people within the state, they'll ask them a question like, have you been working during the period of the last month? The answer may be no. They'll ask, are you drawing unemployment insurance? They'll say yes. And they'll say, have you actively been seeking work? And they say no. Okay, those people are not counted as unemployed in our rate. Even though they are drawing unemployment insurance, they are not necessarily being counted as unemployed, because they are not seeking work.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Although I gave an explanation of previously about basically where I was coming from and my concern as expressed at the last committee meeting, I still maintain that I would like to see this this information compiled. And while I might be rather simplistic in my suggestion that it's just a matter of, like I believe Mr. Parr stated in the last meeting also, that just a matter of adding another block in the application or whatever the state, whether you're male or female in the employment activities, I still feel that this information should be compiled. And then basically as an editorial, my observation would be that there have been many times when I've been unemployed and haven't become part of a statistical chart simply because I didn't notify the employment office that I wasn't working. I received unemployment compensation about 10 years ago for about 4 months, and that was because I was doing some work between Elm and Kodiak and the mouth of the Yukon, and I don't think that the employment statistics used really give an accurate picture of what the actual employment force is and the total number of people unemployed who are perhaps unemployable, and simply because somebody is receiving unemployment checks, just on that basis, I don't feel that it's an accurate measurement of the state's number on statistics of people employed or unemployed.
Thank you.
Mr.
Malone was here a minute ago, and he did leave, but Rock is passing out, which is the recommendations, I believe this is from a study on the status of women, which, as I mentioned a while ago, I thought had given rise to this resolution. There was a recommendation to see if you give us the gentleman at the end of the table.
You
guys
share, because I need
to. I might add, Mr. Chairman, there are other agencies that are state funded, which, although I think our department is probably the most appropriate, for instance, economic development maintains a staff of economists which are state funded as opposed to federally funded. They made for the University of Alaska. And perhaps these agencies would be better able to do something of this nature. I tend to think of economic development as being the opposite side of the same coin of unemployment. And I think they logically should probably be together, but as Representative Magdak has pointed out, one of the disadvantages of accepting federal money and a federal system is that you have to follow their rules. And whether or not those rules bear any particular relationship to the employment picture in Alaska.
Are you suggesting that economic development should have this responsibility to your department?
I certainly haven't discussed it with them, but it might be worth inquiring into that agency if they're set up for it. As I understand, they're doing an econometric model that something like this might fit into. I think the legislation is most accurate in looking to our department for this type of information, but we do have this problem of funding.
Mr. Spear, I noticed two things. First, there's a letter in our package from the governor to Mr. Malone. And he said he had no objections to such a compilation. Commissioner Arbeck had raised some technical problems that he was confident he could solve them.
Sir.
And then he'd come in with a new fiscal note. And I noticed that the attachment to the fiscal note says that it may not be as accurate as the method used for balanced labor force information, but it will provide the information requested in the resolution. Of course, that's what's attached to your revised fiscal note. In other words, if you're saying it's $22,000, 22.6, we can get what the resolution asks for.
I think so. I really just mentioned the possibility of another agency if the committee wasn't aware that they.
Yeah, well, I raise that question because it seems to me that it's very unlikely that economic development could, for the same amount of money, provide that information. It's pretty well, they wouldn't have as good a base of information to start from, I wouldn't think, as you do.
I think you're probably correct, Mr. Chairman.
I don't have a question of the gentleman here, but I do have a question on the resolution itself.
Well,
so
that's more long. No more questions. He's yelling the source. Yeah. Is there anything else? Any other questions on this, Mr. Spear? Mr. Spear.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask one question? If the Department of Labor is not so happy to have this study that they're going to be doing or delegated to do by this resolution, and they would rather place it in another department, and yet, if we passed it, what would be the reception of this resolution? How would it be complied with? I know with reluctance, but.
Please don't misconstrue my remarks. We'd be more than happy to do it. I'm merely suggesting the possibility that since ours is 100% federally funded, that it may be simpler in some way to put it in a state-funded operation. We'd be very happy, and I'm sure we do. Excellent job for the money. I'm really primarily interested in making sure that we have a clear understanding what will be expected of us and what the aims of the resolution are.
May I ask another question? The fiscal note here is for $22,600 from the general fund. That's the revised fiscal note as I see it. To what extent would you be able to accomplish this? The goal of this resolution with that kind of money, would you be able to do a statewide project, or would it be just for the urban communities?
I would have to defer to Mr. Gale on the methodology.
Well, what we were thinking of originally on that was to set up a sample, and I think what we tried to do would be to set up a statewide sample. We would try to make that as close to a random sample as possible. And for the rural areas of the state, I think the sample would have to be both larger than, say, for the urban areas, just because it would have to be larger just to make it statistically sound. But it would not be a 100% sample by any means.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Other questions for Mr. Clear? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is anyone else willing to testify on House Concurrent Resolution 56?
Very last line, 18, minority status. Is that referring to sex, or is that referring to blacks, whites, Chicanos,
etc.? Mr. Phillips, in view of the title and in view of line 11, I had assumed it was minority women.
That's why I wanted to ask the sponsor, because if it was the intent of minority people, this period, then I think we ought to have something saying about the minorities in the title itself, but if it's just referring to women, it's all right.
I have made an assumption based on the fact that it appears twice earlier.
Right. Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Do we have any recommendation on the bill, or anything, Mr. Chapman?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Line 17 on page 1, after the phrase Department of Labor, with the sponsor's concurrence, I would offer this amendment: insert "or another agency if more appropriate."
I would object to that if that was a motion, Mr. Chairman. The reason for that is, and the guys are not here to hear me, but I feel that if the Department of Labor is going to, I just think the Department of Labor has the responsibility to conduct this study. I don't know what they're supposed to be doing in the first place. And I probably, because I expect a little bit more from the Department of Labor, and this is my expectation, that they should have this available statistics anyway. And I just don't see it in the suggested Department of Commerce and Economic Development, because I just don't think it belongs there. We might as well put it in another department, maybe the Office of the Governor. It just so happens that when we talk about the labor force, the first thing that comes to mind is the Department of Labor, and rightfully this resolution should be conducted there, but then that's just my personal opinion.
Mr. Chairman, I may. The point is that the EEO office in the Department of Administration has these figures. Now, the problem is they have these figures, but I'm not sure that they've got the computer program that the Department of Labor has on their computer, that the Department of Labor has exclusively for themselves. And I don't think that the computer that the Department of Administration has is programmable for this type of collection. So to me, we have the data in one place, and we've got the machine for compilation of it in another place, and there's got to be an interaction, otherwise we set something up new.
Let me interrupt one second, please. Mr. Chuck, I may be wrong, but the information I have is that the EEO office in the Department of Administration has that information only for state employees.
That's what I was saying.
Only for state employees?
Yes.
That's the information we have so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. May I elaborate, Mr. Chairman? For Mr. Chatterton's edification, each entity, government, municipal entity in the state has its own equal employment opportunity department or division, and each one, say the municipality of Anchorage, has its own EEO office, which only addresses itself to the employment within the people that are employed by the municipality. And the same thing with the state. The state EEO office only contends with the state employees, and the school board, Anchorage School Board, has an EEO office which only deals with the employment of women, minorities, and what have you in the school system. So throughout the state, we have various EEO offices that don't really relate to one another. I have for some time tried to collect information from any of these departments, and they don't have facts. And that's why I'm just a little bit weary of this whole thing, because it seems like it's a nice merry-go-round where all our state and federal funds are moving from here to there, and nothing is really statistically available.
Well, you may be right, but at least so far as all federal government contractors and subcontractors and sub-subcontractors, someplace, I know in the federal, and I believe copies are sent to a state agency, whether it's the Office of Human Rights, that data is now available for that many people.
I must tell you, I might just add one piece of information that we expect either tomorrow or Monday, we expect from the EEO office and the administration the final tabulations on state employees. We got part of that. Rocky got them for me about a week or so ago, but they didn't have them all at that time. They're still tabulating, so we don't even have all those yet. We will have them all here for the committee if anybody wants them.
I just wanted to compliment that report.
Well, there's another possibility here in case Mr. Chatterton's motion is still in force. You said Department of Labor or another appropriate government, another appropriate agency or something.
I have or another agency more appropriate.
Or another agency more appropriate. Okay. Are you ready for the question on the motion? Line 17. After the word labor. Would insert or another agency more appropriate?
If more appropriate.
If more appropriate. Another agency is more appropriate. Can I see the hands of those in favor of the motion, please? 1, 2, 3, 4 of those opposed. Motion carries. Another agency of more appropriate. Okay. Is there anything else?
I had a question, just philosophical. Nothing to do with self. But, what is the main purpose of this resolution? Is it to force? You know, I know that if state employees were using state funds, you know, therefore we've got to have X percentage of minority set and things like that. But is the purpose of this resolution to force private industry and the hiring? I just want to find out the philosophy behind this.
Well,
I realize.
Well, I can tell you what you've got.
Yeah, I read it. They wanted to know the trends and everything.
Well, it says we don't have information, but it says. Mm-hmm. And that all they have is national information. Of course, Mr. Deals are being extrapolated. So this is simply with information.
Well, that's the way I read it, too. But
I might point out that we do have things continue coming before us. We had the business, was this year or last year, we had questions about the need for daycare assistance, how many women were in the labor force, and things like that. There are a lot of things that do hang on this kind of information.
Chairman, I move to pass over to
HR 6.
Okay, is there objection? None. I understand some people do have to leave by 4 o'clock. Is that right, Mr. Bennett? Well, Mr. Hyder's daughter is waiting patiently. Come up, Mr. Hyder. This we have here, this our draft committee substitute for Senate Bill 45. This is the one we discussed with Mr. Hyder. So we had 2 hearings, I believe, on this. In the last meeting, we had a general consensus, and I'll overstate this very simply, that the regulatory or regulation writing authority should remain as it is, as Health, Social Services, Labor, and DEC, but that there should be a centralized inspection authority. Very simply stated, the draft CS before you is supposed to do that. Did you get a copy of it, Mr. Hyder?
Yes, I have.
Did you have a chance to look it over?
Yes, I have.
Does it meet those objectives in your viewpoint?
I believe that it accomplishes exactly what the committee discussed last hearing.
Chapter, Title 18 is the Health Social Services Department, right?
That's correct.
So the first part of the bill deals with the power and duties of the department there. Then go back somewhere way back in the bill, page 4, we have section 2, which is title 44, and I'm not sure that's... let's see.
All right.
Yeah, 44, I believe, is Department of Labor.
Mr. Chairman, 44 is interagency agreements or something like that. I forget exactly the name.
46 is the DEC.
Yes.
That's the next title. And then the last section of the bill, section 8, doesn't interfere with the department, or the Department of Labor to adopt regulations on radiation exposure. Anybody have any questions on this committee substitute or anything?
Thank you for being here.
Yes, anybody have any questions?
Is there any duplication here now with the feds? In other words, if the feds do an inspection, we're duplicating theirs, causing double paperwork for the businesses?
No. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission conducts the inspections of licensed materials, and the state has no involvement in that. Does that answer your question, Ed?
Do the feds have any inspection program at all?
Yes. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission.
Well, that's just nuclear, but not radiation. Not X-ray radiation.
Oh, not X-rays, no. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission is part of the old Atomic Energy Commission, and they have maintained the authority at the federal level to license users of radioactive materials, certain kinds of radioactive materials.
But not X-ray radiation.
But not X-rays, no.
And this bill is dealing, well, it deals with both, doesn't
it? It deals with both, yes,
but
it does.
But we have duplication of
it. Well,
like there's two or three places in the state that have radio nuclear laboratories.
That's correct. In the facilities now, a hospital, for example, would have both. When I go to a hospital, I do not look at the radioactive materials in the hospital. I look only at the X-ray equipment. And the state has no jurisdiction, really, in the use of radioactive materials. Possibly an emergency or something,
is there any place in the committee substitute where the state's given power over the radioactive materials so that there would be duplication?
Yes, or as it reads now, it would read that the state has jurisdiction over what's called radiation sources, which includes radioactive materials. However, those materials which specifically, are exempt from state jurisdiction are those which are under Nuclear Regulatory Commission authority. For example, if I went out to the hospital here and they have radioactive materials, it's kind of a confusing mishmash. Some materials are not subject to licensing by the federal government. For example, radium. That is a type of material that doesn't fall into the definition of the categories which are licensed by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. The state has responsibility for that one. The state would not have responsibility for something like cobalt-60, which would be used in a hospital therapy. It's kind of a confusing issue. Some states have become agreement states where they've assumed responsibility in the same way that the Department of Labor is an agreement, or I should say Alaska is an agreement state with OSHA. But Alaska is not an agreement state in this particular area.
I see. Would you like to see Alaska an agreement state on this?
I have mixed emotions about it. I think there have been many advantages to letting the feds handle it. I think if it ever came to the point where Alaska became much more industrially involved, it might be to the advantage to have the license procedure and the permit applications and so forth and license applications handled at the state level. Mm-hmm. But now there are so few, there are roughly 40 licensees in the state. I have not heard any complaints about the time lags in application and granting a license and so forth. It could happen.
Do you have any questions the docs have raised on this, Phyllis? And really, are we going to have double inspections?
Yeah.
Because right now, there is some inspection of x-ray equipment by the state and the hospitals, I believe.
They're supposed to be. I'm the one who does it, and I do it on a very sporadic basis. Yes.
Yeah. And then, of course, in the hospitals, the x-ray departments have to meet the specifications of the feds anyhow because of the various federal programs of such as Medicare.
That's correct. I do that. Yeah. I'm the one that does that. Yeah.
I see. So in that sense, the feds actually aren't doing your little job.
Right.
So that was your only question, and I haven't had any complaints, so I don't see any objection to that.
Do I have any further questions? Do we have a motion on the municipal?
In a way,
don't want to rush, Mr. Chairman.
No, sorry. I don't really have a question for Heilsdorf, but I need some suggestions, I guess. As I understand why we're really addressing ourselves to the medical dental profession, and I look at page 3, line 2 of page 3, exceptions. This goes a long way, somewhat reversed. I'm trying my best to figure out some verbiage that would make this specifically for hospitals, medical and dental offices.
Well, there are veterinarians and chiropractors.
Well, okay, include the whatever term we use.
Health providers.
You're talking about for this exception?
Well, saying that the sections 475 through 485 apply only to, that term is all-inclusive, health providers, and all others are exceptions.
Where is this, Chair?
On the top of page 3, line 2.
525.
Mr. Chairman, would you mind, perhaps for my benefit, clarifying what it is you're
All the testimony we've had is sort of focused on the fact that the greatest hazards were due to x-ray machines, ionization chambers, so forth and so on, cobalt treatments, in the health provider's deal. That's where the public should be protected, the highest exposure of the public. And so what I was trying to do is limit that. Still have this underwriting concern about the Department of Health and Social Services getting into the industrial aspects.
I think that would be the wrong place, though, because all this does is limit it, saying it doesn't apply to, it doesn't say that the department can keep a dentist from x-raying your teeth.
That's all this says. Right.
I think if you want to do that, it would probably be in some other portion of the first two pages of the bill somewhere. I don't really know where, but...
That's my only concern.
Mr. Chairman, I believe on page 6, the last section does that, section 8. You're concerned about the involvement in the industrial area?
Halfway does. Right.
Does section 8 answer that?
Act does not confer authority on the department or limit the authority of labor to the relations.
Partial.
I believe that was the intent of it. It says health and social services can't adopt regulations on that field, and nothing doesn't limit the authority of the department to adopt the regulations, which is what I think you agreed on last time. The regulations.
industry.
Why don't you just...
From the Department of Health and Social Services jurisdiction.
Yeah.
So that they're only with labor.
Right.
I see.
That's what Section 8 of the bill is supposed to do.
Well, why don't we rewrite that to express that more clearly?
I certainly have no objection. I don't know how it could be written more clearly, but certainly labor has responsibility for all industrial uses. But the problem with using the word industrial is that it goes beyond that. A hospital, for example, an x-ray technician is an occupationally exposed person,
yeah,
and that person falls under the jurisdiction of the Department of Labor. As it turns out now, I cover all of that when I go around. I'm concerned not only about the patients, but those who are working in the field also.
Mr. Chairman, I'll withdraw my concern and move the bill.
We could
move the bill out.
Possibly put a letter in the camp.
Well, I think
take care of that.
I think he knows our
intent. If the committee wishes, I'll write a very short letter of intent, which will say what I said to Mr. Heiderstar first sat down. It is intent of the committee that regulatory authority is distributed among these three departments that we agreed upon, and that the inspection function is centralized in the Department of Health and Social Services in the interest of the economy of state farms.
That will do it. Okay. I move the...
Oh.
Okay, Rocky, what you getting signed up for 45 people. I know you only have a few more minutes. We do have one more bill up on the calendar day, Senate Bill 129, which is a governor's bill, and it was supposed to be someone here to testify on it. I understand that there is not. They were going to call you back on it.
Yeah, I said they had to 4 o'clock.
Put it in the bottom of the drawer.
As usual.
Yeah, my own reaction is in the absence of someone to more or less tell us just what's going on, I'm reluctant to take any action on the bill.
It does look like you're
trying to save those. Well, the only one thing, Mr. Bogner, the reason I'm kind of willing to do that, make that assumption, is that they're talking about Title 20. And Title 20 has a ceiling for the state of Alaska anyway of $3.9 million, roughly. And so what I'm wondering, if we take another, $300,000 out of that federal account, that purpose, are we taking it away from aid to the elderly or whatever? I don't know. In the absence of somebody from the governor's office, from the department to testify, I'm not going to do anybody. Okay, we will hold over 129.
Mr. Chairman, you say it's the governor's bill. What do you mean by that?
Introduced by rules committee by request of the governor, sir.
Is that special status?
No, the same thing. It's their responsibility to be here to testify.
Might yeah. Warm up like for 2 years now.
We haven't held back any governor's bills in this committee, to my knowledge. And, but I think it's their obligation to be here and tell us what the story is.
I will see you upstairs, man.
Have fun with the governor, gentlemen.
What's hurting now?
I don't want to go.
I understand he's got a...